Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories, you tell your stories, we tell your stories. It's embarrassing all around. We are here to laugh with you. We're here to cringe with you. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How's your week?
No, said it first.
Do you think you did it first? There's a delay. See, so that's what's unfair now.
That's what I'm banking on.
There's a delay. All right. Well, I'll give it to you. So we had a little hiatus week.
And yes.
I have just been working around the clock trying to get this house together finally.
It looks gorgeous. Everything
I ended up,
you're doing.
Sometimes for your mental health, you have to hire out. So I hired out for painters because I can paint, but it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
This house has a lot of details. So like the fireplaces and the trim and the crown molding. And I'm like, I don't have it in me to spend 4 days painting this room.
Right.
And I had guys come. There were four guys that came. The first day, they were here for 8 hours. They came back the second day, we're here for like half a day to finish the bedroom. So I'm like, this would have taken me like 4 days easy, you know?
Yes. And it also, it does not hurt your arms. It hurts your arms. I can't even paint for more than 3 hours. And my arms are like, oh, sore the next day. Can't
yeah,
do anything.
It's a lot. But I'm happy it's done. I wallpapered the bedroom too, as you saw in that video.
So
that
good.
Was really fun. And it's very empowering because there were definitely parts of that where I was like, I can't do this. I'm just going to give up. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to push through and you're going to do it. And then you see the finished product and you're like, I did it. It's
yes.
amazing.
And you did that.
So
you
it's
did
empowering
that.
For sure.
It looks
and
so good.
And they're working
good.
On the living room and the family room and the dining room. Like there's a lot happening at once. We're wallpapering. Mirage has gotten roped into wallpapering the ceiling with me tomorrow in the
Woo!
Dining room. He's very excited about it.
That's awesome.
He's going to kill me, but he's going to do it. And
so
you have
sweet.
To have two people for the ceiling. I would do it myself, but you literally can't because you're holding up the paper and then it's so long and it just falls behind you. So you have to have two people. So someone is literally holding it as you like tack it on the wall and
yeah.
go down. So
yeah. yeah. Oh, it's going to be so good. I love it.
It's work, work over here. What are
work,
you doing?
Work,
what are you
work.
Up to?
Well, I'm like, well, I went to Joshua Tree. That's why we didn't do this last week because I went to Joshua Tree. My husband gifted me a solo trip to Joshua Tree to get away, to like unplug.
Best and gift ever.
It was so amazing. I always like hockey stop, well, whatever, up to my favorite places. And then I get out of the car and I run. I just run as fast as I can to the rocks. And when I get to the rocks, I start climbing them. And then it's like the coolness
it.
Of the rocks and how high I can get and like that air that I don't, there's an air in Joshua Tree. It's like,
it's true. And
powerful.
Palm Springs, it's desert
yeah.
brain. It just gets you into like such a little zone and a vibe. It does feel like vortexes out there.
Oh, it does. And it's a peaceful feeling. I've always
Very
had
peaceful.
It. As soon as I get there, I'm like, oh my God, I want to like get naked and run around here.
Yeah. It's so, like your troubles do really just melt away out there. I don't know what is in the air, but it is the most peaceful, amazing
so peaceful.
Place. And I miss it.
I know you're going to come out and you're going to go with me. I would
I
love
to come visit.
I would love to just run with you as fast. It's like boogie boarding with you. You're never going to do it with me. But I imagine at Joshua Tree.
I told you when we're 80 and we break our hips and we go boogie boarding.
Okay. I'll take it. We're going to go. Yeah, so that was it. I just had a great time. I went around thrift stores.
Ooh, what'd you find? Did you find anything good?
No, I didn't. But I mean, I found so many good things, but I just didn't commit to anything. I did actually, no, that's not true. I went to a thrift store and I got like, serving plates because we're hosting Thanksgiving this year. So I have to get a million serving
me
plates.
Me too.
Oh, yes, I know. You've hosted me for Thanksgiving back in the day, like a decade ago.
I miss those days when it was Friendsgiving. That was the best.
Yeah, that was the best. You did all the work. So don't do all the work this time.
I am going to, but it's fine because I'd rather that than my mom like takes it on and she will. So even though she's 82 years old, I'm like, you got to slow down. You got to chill.
Yep.
So.
Well, my mom's going to be here with us too. And I have to tell her, I'm going to have to tell her, like, we've got this because she does the same thing. She's like, okay, well, we're going to make this. And it's just like, nope. You
yeah,
go.
She's like trying to bring like 10 dishes. I'm like, you Watch. Can make deviled eggs. That's it.
Ooh,
like, you make
yes.
one thing. She makes the
yes.
best deviled eggs.
Yum. And you're going to be there. Woo. Okay,
and I'm going to be there.
Get
yeah.
into this. Let's do it. Let's just make
Let's
each other
get
laugh.
Get into it. Do you want me to start or you want
I'm
going to
get you today. I'm going to get you.
I get it.
You start.
Kick us off. Okay. This first story comes from Quora, and Cybergirl writes, years ago, I was dating this man that 5 years previously, he and his family immigrated to America. They were from a Mediterranean country. He came to my house to pick me up as usual. He didn't want me to drive to him for some reason. Anyway, this was our fourth date. He waited for me in the driveway, and on my way out the door, my mom needed some help for a few minutes. It took me about 5 minutes, and I left out the door and got into his car. He immediately started bitching at me for being late and making him wait while I messed around, taking forever to get ready.
Okay, I would say give me a minute and get out of the car, and I would then key the car, and I would get.
You will never predict where this story goes.
Okay.
I tried interrupting him to tell him that I was just helping my mom before coming out. He wouldn't listen and kept bitching.
He drove and bitched.
He wouldn't shut up while he was driving. I kept my mouth shut, but I was regretting getting in the car with him.
Yes. Like, yeah,
you are a better woman than me.
Yeah, seriously. I would be like, I would probably like jump and roll.
Yeah, at that point, it's like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I'm clearly you're in a bad mood. I'm not going to go tonight. Like, maybe we can talk this out at some point, but I'm getting out of the car.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
If you know really what I say? Him. I say, I'm sorry. I think you should drive yourself to an anger management meeting and I'll never see you again. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And I understand there's like culturally different things and like they don't want the woman to drive, but that is not for me either. I'd absolutely not. Not for me.
Anyone yelling at me is like, no thanks, man.
Yeah.
Why don't we order an hors d'oeuvre now? Sorry, go on.
We drove for a while, and he finally shut up. I turned my head to the right to look out the window while we were stopped at a red light. He must have thought that I did this to ignore him, because it wasn't 2 seconds later that I felt a sharp pain on the side of my head.
Okay, I hate this story. He hit her in the head?
I cried out and put my hand up on the area my head hurt, and I looked at him. He was holding his shoe.
What? What?
That's right. He hit me in the head with his shoe.
We gotta get him out of here. We gotta figure this out.
I'm picturing like a leather loafer that he's just casually slipped off of his foot while he's driving.
What a dickhead.
Bonks her on the head with. Like, it's insane.
She decides to look out at the stop sign and just be like, all right, I'm gonna give him some space. And then he hits her with his shoe. Yes, who the hell is this? He's like an old. Where is he coming from? Like, another
time?
She's
like admiring the lovely view out the window, just trying to relax and chill. And just let it go, and she gets freaking bonked upside
bonked.
The head.
She just said
he was from a Mediterranean country.
No, I just mean like I think he's like from another like time frame. Like back in the day, I imagine like that's how they got people's attention on like for 300 years ago.
They bonk their women on the head with shoes.
Or just anyone on the head with shoes. That's how they communicated. Go ahead.
I looked at him in disbelief. I yelled out, "Oh hell no,
yes.
You did not just do that." I could feel the rage coming and my face was burning.
Yes.
Now, I am not a violent person and most of the time I let things go. But being hit with a shoe is not something I let pass.
Yes.
So I quickly reached down, snatched one of my stilettos off, my 5-inch stilettos,
yes.
And I whacked him upside his head with as much strength as I could muster.
Yes.
I mean, I lifted my ass up off this car seat at impact. Now it was his turn to cry. I'm like, a 5-inch stiletto could like stab you like in the brain.
Brain
like she
damage.
she impaled him with
she,
her
like,
stiletto.
His skull.
Now it was his turn to cry out and hold his head. I yelled, "Asshole, see how you like it." And I quickly opened the door to get out. I wasn't waiting around in case he decided to start pounding on me. I was heavy into martial arts at the time,
yes.
And I would have had to bust his ass, and I didn't want to have to do it. I got out of the car, slammed the door, and started hobbling off. I stopped to put my stiletto back on so I didn't have to hobble. I'd seen a gas station a little ways back. There were no cell phones then, so I walked to it, called my best friend from there, and waited for her to pick me up. I don't know if that shoe-hitting thing was something they did in his country or if it was just something he did, but I can tell you, he found out painfully it is not something
yes.
You do in America.
I love it.
LOL. Love it. Needless to say, I never heard from him again.
Okay. She gets hit by a shoe. That's a new one. And I loved her reaction. And I also love she's heavy into martial arts. She could have like dismantled him.
Yeah. She's like, I'm a black belt. I could have.
She's like, I will rip your arm
You're
out
lucky.
Of its socket.
You're lucky you just got a stiletto to the head.
I know nothing. Obviously, I know nothing of the martial arts. I'm like, she's going to rip him his arm out of the socket.
I mean, maybe.
I love it. And, you know, that must have really hurt. That stiletto must have really hurt. I don't know. I can't imagine that. Like,
and I'm sure he's never had a woman do that back to him, obviously.
Right.
You know?
Well, you're going on a date and then you're going on a date and you hit the date that you picked up with your shoe.
Just casually looks out the window and he pulls his shoe off and whacks her in the head. I mean, it's absurd.
I don't know what
that is abuse, sir. I beg your finest pardon.
It's like those reactions, like, you know, if someone follows you home, like this is a Aziz Ansari joke, but like, what do the guys expect when they're like following you home and you start running from them because you're scared? And like, do they expect you to turn around and be like, you know what? Let's like have sex. Like, let's go out. Yeah. You're really cute. Can I get your number? Like, what did he think after he hit her with a shoe she was going to do? Be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I was helping
like,
my mom.
I'm going to beat her into submission like a dog. You know, like that's clearly like what the mentality is, which is horrible.
Man, I love that she's nailed him. She nailed him. Okay, well, this is from Liz in Clear Lake, Iowa. And she wrote, I live by Clear Lake and there are a lot of little streams near me that feed into it. One day, I had a couple of friends over and my mom came into my room where we were looking at my friend Sasha's iPhone and she told us to go outside. In fact, she yelled at us to go outside. I don't have an iPhone because my mom is a monster, so I'm always looking over the shoulder of someone at school to see the world. Which is like it's such a statement for today, right? Like
that's so funny.
You think that's the world. You're like, show me the world. It's like an iPhone. So this one day, we get kicked out of the house by mom, and Sasha dares me to jump over this stream. It's pretty wide, the stream, but I know that I can do it. So she says she's going to film me and make a reel of us all doing the jump. Well, it was a colder day, and I was in a green sweatsuit and Birkenstocks with socks. The urge to be internet famous compelled me, and I took a running start at this stream. She was filming in slow-mo, so I decided to turn as I was midway over the stream and give her a huge smile and thumbs up before I landed on the other side.
Iconic.
Right? It's like so funny. You're like,
it's like she's picturing it in her head. Yeah, she's going
to
be like,
she's like, the world will fall to their knees.
It's so smooth.
It's so smooth and funny, and it sounds like a good plan. So she writes, except I didn't land on the other side. I hadn't cleared the stream and came down hard on the bank of it on my side, and then momentum rolled me over into it. I was face down in the mud. My sweatsuit just soaked and smeared with mud. And all of that was captured on video in slow motion.
Now that's a viral video.
That is you called it. Because she wrote, I immediately told Sasha to delete it. She wanted to post it, but we are in middle school and I cannot have my crush see that. I had mud in my teeth.
That's hilarious.
She swore she'd delete it and swore she wouldn't post. That bitch.
That little
she
bitch.
She did post it.
Thank God we didn't have camera phones when we were kids.
Oh my God. I would have, thank God. Thank God it's safely in the past, in the dark past. She did post it. Not only that, but she put the caption up top that read, when you think it's just a fart, but you're wrong. Can you imagine? So she gives a smile and thumbs up and then like lands in the mud.
That went mega viral, I bet.
Oh, well.
It had to. It had to.
Find out.
Now we got to go look it up on TikTok, too.
I know. I actually did try to find it. I don't know if they took it down. Like, I don't know if they did that. I have no idea. Sasha has a lot of followers and they all saw it. I had to see it on Monday over my crush's shoulder as he covered his mouth laughing. The video shows everything. Me running, the slow-mo look at the camera thumbs up, and then it goes normal time as I slam into the stream and my face rolls into the mud and I'm splashed and covered in brown mud. Great.
That's brilliant filmmaking, I have to say. No, I can picture the whole thing and it's really good.
That can ruin your life. Like,
yeah. In middle school, that's like the end of the world. But she'll be able, she's going to grow up with a strong backbone and she's going to tell everyone that story and look back on it and be like, I'm the mud girl.
She's going to go rolled in the mud to the UN for a job application. And they're going to be like, oh my God, you're the girl, slow-mo, fart, poop,
green sweatsuit.
Mud girl.
Green sweatsuit. That's you. I mean, it's pretty great. I love it.
So everyone that I know sees it and shares it. But that video was seen 57,000 times and still counting.
It needs to go way higher. That should be in the millions.
It should
sounds
be
really good. Yeah, that should be in the millions.
I love how this
I'm
is
gonna
her
find
embarrassing story and you're like, girl, you're famous.
I'm going to find and share it for you. Okay?
Please
I'm
do.
I'm going to continue your fame, your shame and your fame.
She probably doesn't want to be shared. But there were also these weirdos that I didn't know making all of these weird comments about it that everyone could also see. I did not give her permission to post that. This happened 2 weeks ago, and I'm now called Leaping Lizard over by my, even by my crush. She's called Leaping Lizard. Her name's Liz. I've never been so glad.
Oh my God, that's so good. That's so good.
But then this is kind of cool. She wrote, I've never been so glad to not have an iPhone. So that's like good.
That's
true. She doesn't have to watch it.
Honestly, she needs to just embrace it. The more that you fight it and you get embarrassed, like the more people want to tease you and poke at it. Like if you just embrace it and you're like, yeah, that's me. I'm famous. I'm Leaping Lizard. Like
yeah.
You should be so lucky to know me. Like then people let it go because they don't have anywhere to go with it. You know, it just hits you and bounces off. Like versus if you're like, and like crying and upset. That, then people just
but that's
keep
the
teasing.
Thing like I think that that's the thing that's different about the generations coming up now is that they have to have that tough skin. They have to like you can't be vulnerable anymore. You have to just be like whatever, I don't care. Even if you do, like, you know, you're like trying to go on a date and someone's like nice shoes and that goes viral, you know, and you're like oh
yeah.
Fuck. You got to just be like, it's okay. Those are my shoes.
Yeah, you have to be able to make fun of yourself. It'll get you far in life. But
yeah.
I love it, Leaping Lizard. I think you're an icon. And I
can't wait to
that.
See your video.
I'm going to find your video. Okay, trigger warning. This next story does deal with thoughts of suicide. If you're experiencing any of those, please reach out to the 988 Suicide Helpline. I just want to say that as a little trigger warning. It has a nice ending. But
okay,
there,
I was like,
that's just in there at one point. So I do feel the need to say the trigger warning.
Yeah.
Okay. This next story comes from Quora, and Angel George writes, I went on a date with a good-looking 18-year-old girl. I was admiring her beautiful lips, and then she started burping loudly every 5 minutes.
Oh.
Burp, burp, no. Burp. We were in a cafe. The people from the other tables all started turning their heads at us. I was super ashamed. She made no effort at all to stop it. She said she'd eaten something bad and that was causing her burping. Then she ordered a beer at the same time.
What is going on?
This happened in my nice guy years. That made the date really bad because I was ready to tolerate everything just to please this girl and get her approval. So I pretended like everything was normal. I allowed the burping social offender to set the tone in the cafe.
Oh my
burp,
God.
Burp,
I would, if I'm a barista there, I'm like, we gotta close.
Just like those loud rocketing like beer burps is what I'm
oh,
it's sounding like
yeah,
is happening,
totally.
Which is so funny.
Horns.
But also the fact that she was comfortable. Wouldn't you be like, you know what? Excuse me. I'm going to just call this like we yeah. can. I've got some indigestion. I've got something happening. Like this is so crazy. Like if you were having uncontrollable burps just like every 5 minutes.
I would go to the hospital. I mean, that's never happened to me. I would never have that happen. I'm also
this,
in my family, it's like a crime to burp out loud in front of people. It's like a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very uncouth.
It's no, not good.
This continued for an hour. The people around us left or changed tables. Oh, I envied them. If only I wasn't such a nice guy, I could leave just like them.
He's just getting his face burped in.
She told me about the book, The Secret, though. She spoke very enthusiastically about it. A genuine enthusiasm interrupted by lots of burps. Burp, burp, burp. I got interested in the book. It happened in a period of my life where I'd hit the bottom. I wanted to kill myself. I'd even started writing my death letter. I was very negative and desperately needed a handful of hope to get me up from the ground. I never saw that girl again, but I did read the book. I'm not a fan of the ideas in The Secret today, but back then, that book brought a ray of positivity into my life. It got me going and sent me in the right direction. It probably saved my life. It was the worst date of my life, but I'm a happy and fulfilled man today because I went on that date. And most importantly, I'm alive.
Yay!
You can take a giveaway home even from your worst date. Just keep your eyes open. I thought that was so beautiful because I'm like, it was this horrible thing, but it like saved his life, you know?
Yeah.
Which
so
is
I remember
so beautiful.
The Secret, and I got really into it too. It
me
was like
too.
20
me
years
too.
Ago. Yeah. And yeah. But the secret part of it is like you attract what you're living, right? That
right.
lady attracted those burps.
She attracted those burps.
Okay.
She did. Well, that is funny. Like, yeah, what was her thought process in talking about it? Like with that. Yeah. Like you manifested those burps into
maybe
your life.
She's just maybe she has like burp Tourette's or something, and she's just like trying to move on and cast some positive.
Just ignore it. She's like, it's fine. Just don't worry about it.
But I have had a couple times in my life where someone comes in and says something and I never see them again. And that's something that they say changes me, changes
yeah,
the course
like
of my life.
It's a profound impact that it has.
Yeah.
You should never make a final, you know, choice, decision about a temporary feeling.
Yes, I love that.
You should all be here, and we want you all here. So if you're having those thoughts, like, call the suicide hotline, 988.
Yes. Yes. Boop, 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 988. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is from Anonymous, and they write, not truth or dare, but I never. A group about 10 of us were playing I Never as a drinking game during a poker party. One of my friends, Brittany, had brought her new boyfriend with her. He seemed like a nice guy, very clean cut and a little boring, perhaps, but a nice guy nonetheless. He hadn't taken but two or three swigs of his beer after a couple of rotations, while most of my friends were on their second or third drink. My friend Ginny started the next round. Never have I ever run from the cops after committing a crime. All around the circle, bottles were slowly raised to the lips as 10, 20-somethings smiled shamefully at memories of some long-forgotten party or youthful mistake or narrowly avoided confrontation with the law. All except one bottle, the bottle belonging to Brittany's young DPD police officer date. So he's a police officer. He left the party shortly thereafter, scowling. If he'd had a legal reason for running our licenses or for warrants, I'm pretty sure he would have. Not funny.
So like they're all like,
oh, I ran from the police or I blah blah. Like I like slashed the tires of the police car and then ran. Like, and then they take a drink and he's just like a policeman sitting there.
Sitting there scowling at all
like,
of them.
Never have I ever wanted to arrest you all more than I do right now.
That guy can take a hike.
Yeah.
Take a hike, buddy.
You're like, take a hike, police officer.
Get out of here. We're going to all run from you now, too. Okay. This next story comes from Cora, and Paige McGrath writes, I was a brand new nurse, and this one actually, okay, so I don't know why I picked these, like, sensitive stories today, but I guess they just, like, spoke to me, but also, like, they were just interesting, and they do have, like, very embarrassing elements in it. This is also a sensitive topic, sensitive story. She does address a little bit at the end. But anyway, I'm just going to say that ahead of time.
Okay. Is it a sensitive story about a certain thing?
Trigger warning deals with death. This deals with death. Okay. So I was a brand new nurse. I started straight away in the ER. I was young and hungry for all of the insanity of the ER. I was waiting for the bus full of hemophiliac nuns to crash into the side of the hospital. So, of course, I was a white cloud for every shift I worked for months. The shift before would be carnage. My shift would have tumbleweeds rolling down the hallway, and then as soon as I left at the end of my shift, it would turn back into carnage again. I started in June. I think it was November before I got to break out my trauma shears. I'm like, that's such a tough job. I honestly can't imagine working in the ER. It's so intense.
I'm so in awe of them.
One gentleman brought in his friend who was having chest pains and he didn't look well at all. We got him on the gurney and I started cutting his clothes off so we could get close to his chest for an EKG and the monitor. I always think that's so fascinating too, like the clothes like cutting thing. I'm like, why do they have to do all of them? You know, like, is it really that much faster? I guess it is. It's like rip all the way through. You'd think they could like unzip some things.
Yeah, just
or, like,
yeah,
pull
like
some
salvage some of the clothes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think about that though. Like when you see that, when they're like ripping through on like TV shows and stuff. Anyway, but they really do it. It's a thing that happens. I guess it's like, it is down to the minutes and they've got down to the seconds.
They've got to do what they've got to do. Body, yeah.
This gentleman was indigent, and this was November on the northern east coast. He was super layered up. I cut through his polar fleece, his sweatshirt, his flannel, his thermal shirt. I'm like, look at all this stuff. This is getting ruined.
It's getting ruined.
Down through his down vest. Oh, shit. That was a down vest. I see the feathers instantly start to erupt where I had cut the vest.
Oh my God.
I took the cut ends and tucked them under his back on either side, cut through his t-shirt, and got on with getting the EKG. He was having a heart attack. We were giving him medications, calling the cath lab, and preparing to take him over when we lost his pulse. We began doing chest compressions on him, and the feathers started going floof out on either side of his back with every compression. Can you imagine how mortified she is right now? 100 compressions a minute is the optimal rate. Envision 100 floofs of feathers a minute. It now looks like it is snowing in our rhesus room. The doctor is trying to intubate him, but her view kept getting obstructed by all of these flying feathers. Where the fuck are all of these fucking feathers coming from? Me doing chest compressions with a perfectly straight face. No idea, ma'am. Floof. Floof.
She just did not tell
us. She's
the
truth. Like, I can't address this.
Yeah, I can't get into it.
She gets him intubated, breathing tube in, and suddenly we have a shockable rhythm. As we are charging the Zol, I'm thinking, oh my God, what if these feathers are flammable? What if she shocks this man and they catch fire and he dies and I'm going to lose my license and I haven't even been a nurse for a year? All of this is running through my head and I voiced my concerns regarding feather flammability and was shouted down. We shocked him. There was a giant cloud of feathers that erupted from him when he twitched with the shock. A giant floof. But none of them caught fire, thank God. We continued to code this gentleman for almost an hour. I had no idea how many feathers could be inside a single down vest. After almost an hour, the doctor declared the time of death, and we let his friend in the back to say goodbye. The room looked like there'd been a nuclear winter. Feathers covered every single surface in the room, clinging to the privacy curtains, the window blinds. They were caught in the air vents, covering every single piece of equipment. After we'd removed the gentleman to the morgue, housekeeping came in and it took them over 3 hours to vacuum all of the feathers out of every crevice in the room. I went up to the doctor, who was still upset, understandably. She's slamming charts every which way and grumbling. "Dr. G," I said, grumble, grumble, bang charts around. I don't know if you know, but that was my first code. Grumble, grumble, bang charts around. I learned several valuable lessons. Grumble, grumble, bang charts around. I learned not to cut through a down jacket. Her. Is that where all the fucking feathers came from? Me, hangs head. Yes, ma'am. At this point, she starts laughing, and I don't think she stopped until about 5 minutes after. She laughed so hard she cried. 10 years later, we're still good friends. After that, she really took me under her wing, pun intended. And then she added this addition. It was a lot longer than this. I just put part of it. I've had one or two people comment on how incredibly insensitive I am. I should never be near a patient again. The addition below is to address those who choose to nurse shame me. I'm sorry you feel that way. It's true that nurses, doctors, and first responders develop what's known as gallows humor, similar to troops in the middle of a war zone. If we weren't laughing, we'd be crying. It's difficult to understand from the outside and can look like insensitivity, but really it's coping and mental resilience. And she said, our everyday job is tragic trauma. It was hard to get used to the concept that at some point in time, 100% of my patients will die. But day in and day out, we fight death. And yeah, she continued on more than that. But it's so true. It's like one of those things where also I feel like the shock and the sadness of all of it. And then you find out, you dummy, you cut through the down vest. And that's why we're literally like floofing all of these feathers into the air. But her like complete embarrassment with just completely screwing up too. And obviously so sad about that poor gentleman that had the heart attack. But like, what a freaking mistake.
No, you know? Like, and there's a lot of stories like that.
To cover the entire room in feathers.
Yeah. And there's a long, I mean, it doesn't sound like there was, I mean, who knows, there's nothing they could do. It's, but I think that the idea that it's like snowing in there while they're working so hard to save a life, it's just like wild. It's so wild.
And you had made the cleaning crew have 3 hours of work.
I know, finding every feather.
Cut through the down vest.
I know. Mm-hmm. Now, this is making me like think about, I do have down vests, and I just, or not vests, but I like down comforters and stuff. Can never, ever open those up.
No.
I always
never.
Hate scenes in movies where they have pillow fights. I like hate messes like that. I'm just like, oh, come on. Like, oh, it doesn't look fun. Also, I'm allergic a little bit to down. So anyway.
Well, that's a good one. Attack.
We don't really have very many like embarrassing stories like that, you know?
I know. I thought it was a really interesting one.
Like, yeah, it was.
It is like a heavier one, but like I just thought it was really fascinating because it deals with like a major work embarrassment and something that like if that was me, I would carry so much shame for doing that. You know what I mean? And for like messing up in that way, you know?
Right. But you know what she said, like you see so much. I can't imagine everything that nurses see.
It's
and
horrible, yeah.
To just like have a moment of like levity for like that, it's like inevitable, of course. Are going to be embarrassing things that happen.
Yeah, it's true.
It's wild. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, this next one is not like that. It's just like a normal,
good. We need a lighter
boring,
one, a lighter
old, embarrassing
one. Yeah, that was my heaviest one.
No message. No. No, I liked it. I think it's good. I think it's like we need to represent everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone goes through stuff like that. So
it's true.
Okay. This is from Dirk from Oakland, and he writes, I loved going to hardcore punk shows when I was a teenager. I loved the sound of the music. I loved the moshing. I loved it all. It was a perfect outlet for my teenage boy aggression and frustration. That passion for going to punk shows continued into adulthood, but I got a job, got married, had kids, and my ability and desire to hit the mosh pit decreased. A couple of months ago, some friends I've known for a long time invited me to go to a hardcore show. They had an extra ticket, and I jumped at the opportunity. There were 5 bands on the bill. The first 2 were pretty solid, But once the third band hit the stage, I felt a strong urge to hit the pit again. Slam my drink. And I told my friends to look for me down front. They thought I was kidding. I wasn't. I marched down to the front of the stage and began tearing it up with about a dozen other guys. This is so funny to me. This is something I would never do. I would never go into a mosh pit.
Banging against each other in the mosh pit.
They're just like shoving each other around, like, yeah, slamming elbows, pointing elbows up.
I feel like Sebastian would love a mosh pit.
I think he's going to maybe.
He's rough and tumble.
He's going to maybe get into one. You never know.
Yeah. I have zero desire to mosh with anyone, but.
Me neither. Yeah. No. Maybe a thrift store, would you mosh?
No.
Okay, fine. After about three songs, my courage peaked. I decided I was going to stage dive. I climbed up on the stage, pointed at my friends in the back of the venue and yelled, "Here I come, you fuckers," and launched myself off the stage. I flew through the air towards the hands that were waiting to catch me. I felt the exhilaration and excitement of the music rising to a swell, and I smashed right into the floor. No one caught me. Maybe it was my size or maybe I misread the moment, but gravity brought me right down to the ground with a clatter. The people around me were either horrified or trying not to laugh right into my face. I picked myself up off the floor, waited for the band to finish, and then hopped in an Uber and headed home. In that moment, I knew I was too old for hardcore.
Yeah.
I love the idea, the whole culture of like getting up on stage and being like, come on, and like you get caught. You get caught and like you surf over the crowd.
Yeah, crowd surfing.
I think that would be so fun, but I would never be able to do it.
Yeah, everybody as a woman, when you're getting crowd surfed, they're just grabbing your boobs and your butt
fingers,
and
fingers your like right into
your grabbing
vagina.
Everything, sticking at everything. Yeah,
I love
you're just
it.
Getting fondled by like different people when you're a woman. That's moshing.
That is instantly what you thought, and I totally respect that. It's true.
It's true.
It's different it's when you're a girl, true. I guess.
Even if you try to backstage drive, then your butt's getting all grabbed.
Just like,
on.
They're
There's
like
always something getting
butt.
Groped. Yeah, something getting groped. Okay, not for me, but good for you.
That's a pass. For Katie. No crowd
okay, this
surfing
last
for this
story
girl.
Is anonymous, yes. And it's my favorite, and they write, I was on this team outing in a resort near Chennai. I'm like, where's Chennai? Am I saying that right even? Is that like Thailand maybe?
I don't know. I'm not.
One of my colleagues, traveled. Who's also my close friend, brought her toddler along with her. She and I were in the pool one afternoon along with her toddler. I was playing with the kid, who quite enjoyed splashing the water with her hands and legs. So I got on my knees at the bed of the pool and sat her between my feet. The water only came to the middle of my torso. I held the toddler by her torso and kept her lifted up near the surface of the water as she went around pretending to swim while all she did was splash the water.
It's
so
cute.
I'm sure that's like you and your son all the time,
Elliot,
right?
Does that all the time. He thinks he's like,
you can picture
like
this
Olympian.
Maybe you've done this in the story. We'll see. Okay. I then swiveled her, my arms along to and fro about the place where I was in the water, just to make her feel like she was actually moving through the water. And her mom was right next to me in the water looking at us as I was doing this. Probably because I was lifting the kid up a little away from my body, I exerted myself a little too much. Not to mention that I'd finished lunch only about a half hour ago, and I'd been drinking carbonated drinks all day. I ended up making some bubbles come out of my butt. My friend made a remark about that and said, I said something funny. We're close friends. It was no big deal for me, because of which I had almost entirely forgotten about the incident. On one day, after a few weeks had passed, most of our team were at the housewarming of one of our team members who was also on the outing. We had some important work that day, so most of us didn't go to the ceremony, which was in the morning of the day. Instead, we were there in the evening when all the other guests had left, and we had the house to ourselves. Most of the team were in the living room chatting and listening to music. My friend and I wandered to the balcony chit-chatting. As we were talking, we heard the rest of them in the living room laughing. Then we heard the laughter over and over again, and one of them called us inside. When we went in, we saw a video from our outing, which had my friend and me with her child in the pool. It was really a cute video, and I kind of felt good about myself as the video rolled. But in one instant, as I glide the child across the water, I have my back to the camera. And that is when three large consecutive fart bubbles in descending order of sizes escape my asshole and break at the surface of the water. they paused the video there and I, red faced, started to deny it, what it was, even though I recalled it. My friend, looking at me with embarrassment, decided to vouch for me and even made some convincing arguments. It could just be bubbles from all the splashing.
Hilarious.
It could be air that's just trapped in my swimsuit. So much so that everyone got quieter. And although they didn't believe me, they began to give it a second thought.
Yes.
Then someone said, cut the music in the room and raise the volume of the tape that was playing.
This is like someone that's not even invited to the party. Just like a crasher with like a fucking smoking jacket on and a weird mustache just wants to hear the fart and like make her even more embarrassed.
Raise the volume. Play it again, Sam.
Jesus Christ.
Everyone agreed. Much to my displeasure, but I thought to myself, maybe it's underwater. There's probably not a sound. And after all this time, we forgot about the conversation we had after it happened. So with faint optimism, I watched. The audio was crystal clear, even amidst the sound of laughter and the splashing. When the instance came, there was a groaning sound from underneath the water as the bubbles exited. And my friend in the video observed it. And after about 5 seconds, she wafts the air in front of her nose and says, your fart smells like stale fish. To which I reply, I hope I didn't sharp myself. And we laughed about it a bit and go about our business. And then the video pans to some other part of the resort or whatever. Apparently, our colleague who recorded this had his headphones on while he was recording and didn't hear our conversation. And also, he didn't notice the bubbles. We had no clue that he was behind us. So this is how I got caught farting and lying about it.
That is a great story. That is maybe one of my favorites because, I mean, what are the odds?
What are the odds? You're just hanging out with your friend. And you have no idea you're being videoed. And then you just totally deny it. And your friend's like, no, that didn't happen. Yeah, it was just a swimsuit. And then they're like,
and then that weirdo is like,
cut the music.
Cut the music. Turn up the volume. And then that person just like drinks their scotch and like wanders away. Like they were just there to just embarrass you even more.
Laughing to themselves. That was the embarrassment demon for sure. It came back to haunt you weeks later.
Hilarious. That is hilarious.
Isn't that great? I love that story.
I love that story too. Not only did her farts, plural, get captured, but then someone made them, everyone, like a captive audience, just listen to the fart and the like aftermath of it. So perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well you're
completely
played.
Busted. You try to lie about it, and then you are literally on camera saying, I hope I didn't shart myself.
I love it. Everyone's like, you're a liar.
And you're done.
But I would have lied too. I would have been like, no, I would have still probably doubled down and been like, no, that's a voiceover.
They're like, what?
You doctored this. That's such a good one. Okay, my last story is from Reddit, and Texas Storm writes, I was in training as a waiter at a steak restaurant on 6th Street in Austin, Texas, and I was on the lunch shift. I had a large party of local city council people and some other unidentified high rollers. Yeah, I was pretty nervous. This restaurant had a strange system of dispensing salad dressings, which was to put them in monkey bowls, which were small metal bowls with no covers. Since I had a large party, my tray was full of salad dressing, filled monkey bowls, blue cheese, ranch, Thousand Island. Somehow, as I approached the table, my tray got off balance and the bowls of dressing all hit the floor and sent up a geyser of dressing that nicely splattered against some of the people at the table.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
You don't want the blue cheese on you.
You don't want Thousand Island. Your wife being like, is that Thousand Island on your collar? The restaurant went silent. And I'm standing there at the table with everyone looking at me. I said, damn, I can't believe I missed the city councilman. And everyone broke up laughing.
That was a good save.
That's probably one of the best things I've ever said in my life, as it saved my ass. And then there's a note. After a tough week, I ended up working at that place for a couple of years. I saw so many bowls of dressing land on the floor. An event we called a dressing bomb. They never changed the system, though. Like, I love the updates, you know?
I know. Clearly, it's not working, but we'll just keep rolling with it because we're not buying new bowls, you know?
I love that, everyone around them is like, yeah, you didn't hit the city councilman. They're, like, dabbing ranch off of their black suits.
And their faces and the mascara and their mascara. Eyes, just wiping a chunk of blue cheese out of their lash.
Yeah, someone misses it and just has, like a ranch, booger for the whole conversation about, like, what are we doing with the city?
Or like Green Goddess up your nose. Green Goddess. That's not one you want.
That's not the one.
That's our show.
That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them, join them.
See you next week.